Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Gentlemen, welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets. Now here are your hosts, Tim McMaster and Connor Hughes. Listen safely.
Can't wait!
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Whether you're watching live on Wednesday night or while cyber shopping on Friday, we are thankful that you chose the Can't Wait podcast to get some Jets information. Tim McMaster here along with Connor Hughes, our Jets beat writer at The Athletic, and our producer, Marissa Morris. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. And if you're listening on Apple, definitely give us that five-star rating and review. Good show on tap. We'll talk about Sam Darnold. He practiced today, what that means for Sunday, what Adam Gase had to say about it, and some other news and notes around the team. We're going to take your questions as well at the end of the show. But first, it is the night before Thanksgiving, so we should talk about Thanksgiving. Connor, let's do favorite sides. I feel like everyone has like their family favorite side. So I see all these judgments on Twitter about sides, and I'm always thinking, well, you don't know that guy's aunt's mashed potatoes. They may be better than your mashed potatoes, or you don't know the stuffing that guy's grandmother has made for 40 years. It could be better than your cranberry sauce. Like, so no judging, but what's your favorite side for Thanksgiving?
That's a tough one, man. I know my mom's like the cook. Like, this is not like be all down and in the dumps, but I don't really have grandparents anymore. They've kind of gone on the rainbow bridge, so I'm out of that luck. But it's my mom who does the majority of the cooking, and I think my two favorite are two. Well, I have three because I got to throw Brie in the mix because like the biggest, like I'm glad that Brie has not asked me who's a better cook in front of my mom and my mom. Well, actually, I should say I'm glad my mom hasn't asked me like, hey, is Brie's cooking as good as mine? Because that's just gonna open up a huge can of whoop. I just don't want to dive into that.
Those are good lies, Connor. Good lies.
Because Brie can cook, man. Like Brie can freaking cook, and she makes this like my favorite Brie side that she makes is this like broccoli casserole, but it's broccoli and Velveeta cheese with like crackers on top or something like that. It is so good, and she make like I'm not a huge cheese fan unless it's like queso. I'm just not in, like, if I'm gonna have cheese on something, it needs to be the thinnest layer, and Brie knows how to like has perfectly mastered the breakdown of broccoli to cheese ratio, so I'm not like gagging in my mouth, which is too much cheese. It's amazing. That's my favorite one from her. And then my two favorites that I have from my mom. Sorry, I was just seeing more everything that's been going on Twitter today. There's even more coming out now.
Oh yeah, it's still going. I can't. Oh
yeah, it's still going. And I just looked over my left shoulder. I was like, oh, that's out now. And so that's like something going on right now. I was like, oh boy, that's interesting. But I will say, like, my mom's two favorites. My mom makes sweet potatoes with like brown sugar pecan crust, which is absolutely to die for. Absolutely love it. And then the other thing is she does her stuffing, and she doesn't do the stuffing that's like literally stuffed inside the turkey's butt and then you rip it out and you eat it. Like, I'm not down for that, but it's like in a pan and it comes out almost looking like a stuffing cake. Like, a you get like chunks of it like this, dude. You put gravy on that and it is just, oh, it's to die for. So those are my three. It's my mom's stuffing and sweet potatoes, and then Brie's like broccoli Velveeta casserole, and that is my favorite. And I'm the other thing too is with Thanksgiving, I'm a big dinner guy. Like, I like apple pie and I like, you know, pecan pie and stuff like that, but I'm more like the dinner guy. So almost when everyone's having dessert again, instead of me having dessert, a lot of times I just go back and I have Thanksgiving dinner again, because I'm a huge like foodie more so than the sweet tooth. I don't really have that.
So for years when I was living in Pennsylvania, I couldn't get home for Thanksgiving. So I started going to my aunt, who's actually my godmother also. And she makes this, you talked about the stuffing. She makes this stuffing and it's like white bread, but then there's sausage and just butter and then butter.
Yeah, that's
what
my aunt
does. Butter and then Bell's seasoning. And then there's like a bouillon cube. I know all this because I made it last year, because I couldn't get down there. And I was like, I need this stuffing. I'm going to make it myself with the Italian sausage. Oh my God. I could literally just eat a bowl of it as a meal for like a week and I'd be fine. So I'm making way too much of that tomorrow. What?
Oh, I should show you a picture. My mom sent me the picture of it. Where's my phone?
It's probably very similar.
Four cake platters of this thing. I can't find my phone wherever. Oh, here it is in my pocket. No, that's like literally my favorite. Like it is absolutely, and yep. I think it's like the same. Now, is yours like mushy? Like is it mushy stuffing or is it? Okay, so this is like harder. This is a little harder.
Okay. It's kind of mushy.
You're a huge stuffing guy. Let me see, I gotta bring up the pick.
Yeah, the other one is the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows. That's a good one too. That I've learned to like later in life. I would always stay away from that earlier. How about you, Marissa?
Well, I'm gluten-free.
I was going to say that we know you're limited.
That's right.
Because you can't. Yeah.
Oh, you must hate this.
Yeah. Well, I will say my mom.
Here's all the turkey.
You can't really see.
You definitely can see.
Now you can.
Four sheet pans of stuffing. Amazing. All right, go, Marissa. Sorry.
So I have celiac, so I'm gluten-free. So it does make my Thanksgiving options a little limited. But I will say my mom always likes to make me feel as included. And she actually made
Mama
me
Morris, eggs. Taking care.
Yeah. So I love mashed potatoes, which are gluten-free, so that's fine. But my mom this year is making me a gluten-free pepperoni bread, which I am very excited for. You know, us Italians, we have to like have like some little lasagna, you know, to mix in.
Oh, the fish is Christmas, right?
Yeah, that's Christmas Eve. Oh,
okay.
I don't like fish though, so but yeah, I think my favorite side is definitely mashed potatoes, and I like the corn in the mashed potatoes.
You're a mixer.
Yes.
You're a mixer.
Yes. Oh, okay. I don't love gravy in my mashed potatoes. Like it's okay. I will eat it, but corn mixed in with mashed potatoes is like the ultimate Thanksgiving side dish, I think. So yeah, I would say that's my favorite. Although I am very excited for my gluten-free pepperoni bread.
Does turkey have gluten in it? Can you have turkey?
No. Yeah.
So you can have turkey.
Yes.
Oh, we're talking about
gluten
sides.
Gluten is
right.
Wheat, Connor.
I'm like
get with it.
Intolerant.
It's 2020.
I eat everything.
We're doing ham tomorrow too. We're skipping the turkey.
Yes, ham.
So
I like ham better. You know
really?
What we put on
ham sucks.
Brown sugar.
Yeah, that's what
and
we got.
7-Up.
That sucks. Well, actually, that sounds intriguing. Still,
I'm
ham
not
sucks.
Sure why, but that's what my aunt has always done, and it's delicious.
No. I just didn't want to deal with the stress of the turkey.
Yeah.
Ham. So we're doing a deep fried turkey. I'm deep frying again.
Again.
So like my buddy.
After last year, wasn't it a disaster?
I deep fry. I didn't F that up. My mom F that up. So like my buddy, my buddy's like farming.
You better hope
man,
I don't clip this off. And
that stuff just
Rodney,
got thrown in the trash.
No food tomorrow.
My buddy is like Rodney. One of my best friends. Gonna be one of my groomsmen. One of my best friends forever. Probably related to Marissa in some way because everyone I know is in some way tied to Marissa. So I wouldn't be surprised if like there's a Rodney Konzelman connection there. But he does like this deep fried turkey. So I told my mom all about the deep fried turkey. I was like, let's do it one year. So she goes and she gets the deep fryer. I get the oil. I come in. My mom like gets the deep fryer ready, but it's like one of those like oven deep fryers. And like we put the turkey in last year and I'm looking at the turkey and I'm like, I was just at Rodney's and we did one. I was like, it's supposed to be submerged. This turkey is not submerged. Like its ass is out of the oil, just like sitting there. And I'm like, I'm fairly certain that's not how this works. And my mom's like, no, the bubbles will spritz on top and cook it. And I'm like, I really don't think that's how deep frying a turkey works. So I go on my phone and I'm like, definitely not. I call up Rodney and he goes, whoever eats that part of the turkey is going to get salmonella. So we ended up like taking the turkey out, re-putting oil back in. It was a whole cluster.
That
you know
happened
what.
To my boyfriend's family a few years ago. About
Did it
four of
salmonella?
Them. Yep, four of them. They cooked the stuffing
yeah,
in the turkey.
Yeah, you're not supposed to actually put the stuffing in the turkey
yes.
these days.
His dad like thought it was this whole thing. And there were four of them throwing up the entire night. Fevers. Yeah, it was brutal. So don't do that.
Ham sucks.
Don't do that.
Before we move on to actual football talk, ham sucks. It's awful unless it's on a sandwich. It's not a dinner food. You don't
Well, it'll also be on a sandwich.
Even for Easter, we
Friday
don't do ham. We just do
Saturday.
Thanksgiving again.
No,
my family,
and then you use it in eggs left over, Tim, too. Like, the ham is.
Kibasi's good in eggs.
No, I think the ham is better than turkey. I'm with you.
Well,
Tim.
Turkey's only good if the problem with turkey is like it can be bad, right? Like really well done turkey, if it's juicy, is good. But I feel like that's another Thanksgiving topic that we probably don't have time to get into. But Thanksgiving when you go to your family that you're familiar with, and then Thanksgiving when you go to a new part of the family. And you don't know what you're in store for. The sides are different. They don't cook the turkey right. And it's just a miserable day. And we used to rotate when I was little. And there was one, I'm not going to name names or anything, but I had one family member. And it was like a distant cousin. It wasn't like a close, close cousin, but like they were in the rotation. So like every 5 years we would end up there. And my parents, a week ahead of time, would start being like, ugh. Bring extra water to pour on the turkey and like to moisten.
Like
it's like Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
And I, at that age, you know, when I was a little kid, didn't quite understand it. But then finally I get old enough and everybody, we would all just dread that year in the 5 year rotation when it was like, oh, Thanksgiving with bad food. Oh, well, but anyway.
When, what no one tells you about, you kind of mentioned what no one tells you about, like when you get in a significant relationship with someone and things start progressing and then you're living together and you eventually get married, is how you have to split up the holidays. Mm-hmm. No one told me that. And like yeah. the you and Bree are moving in together. So I remember like last year for Christmas was when Bree and I were sitting there and she's like, well, what are we going to do for Christmas? I was like, I'm going to my mom's house to open presents. Like, duh. And she's like, no, you're not. We're spending the day together. And I was like, oh shit, that's right. I told her, I was like, we got to, like, because her mom's a nurse too. So like their schedules are all over the place. But I said, I was like, I'll give up Thanksgiving. I'll give up Easter. I'll give up New Year, whatever you can take. I just need to be at my mom's for Christmas dinner because we do the beef tenderloin with béarnaise sauce. And oh my God. I was like, I'm not leaving that. I was like, well, if you want to go to your mom's, fine. We'll go to her house for like a couple hours. I was like, but I'm not eating there because I'm going back and eat my beef tenderloin. Like that is my meal. And I'm not missing that. That is my
favorite. Just wait till you have kids. That will make it even more complicated.
I don't talk about that. I don't right.
All right, let's talk about the Jets.
That's probably like, about.
All right, yeah. How about you guys talk about the Jets? We should start with Sam Darnold, who practiced today, Connor. Apparently did a lot of practice, but still very much not in or very much in doubt as far as Sunday goes, right? Just give us the latest as far as what's going to happen the rest of the week and when we may know whether Sam Darnold's going to play on Sunday.
I think tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you'll know, because the thing with Sam and like what they've been doing or what they were doing with Sam when he got back. I'm gonna text Marissa this link so she can keep tweeting.
Like I already just time. Retweeted it, but
oh, you already got it. You already have the like we were doing.
No,
last time
I did. I did the other one, but okay, send it to me.
Here you go. Yeah, I was hoping Tim's filibuster would go like an extra 15 seconds so I can cut that off.
Like
he was like, so what do you think about that?
Like yours. Oh, yeah, like Tim and I have like full conversations.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you guys can write a novel with mom filibusting. I go to the Greg Williams school of filibusting. But yeah, like here's the difference. It's like when the Jets were dealing with Sam last time, like when Sam was coming back from his injury, they were like going to shoot him up on game day. So he would not take any shots, no painkillers, nothing during the week. So nothing during Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He would practice normal. But when they would get to the games on Sunday, they would give him medication that would help him like ease the pain so that when he would take a shot from a defender, when he would make a throw, like he wasn't feeling any of the ill effects from that AC joint sprain and he was fine. They obviously didn't want to do it every single day. They didn't want to do it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, because then you're running the risk of like, I mean, it's you're talking about pain medication. Like it's a heavy duty stuff. So they didn't want to do that. The difference is that now they're not going to be doing that. There's going to be no pain medication. So they don't want to run the risk, because a lot of what this is like the issue with Sam is not throwing the ball. That's not the problem. So if they were playing 7-on-7, if they were playing two-hand touch, if they were playing flag football, Sam's going to be fine. Like he can make every throw right now. He can thread the needle. He can air it deep. He can drop back. He can uncork it when he wants to. Like that's not a problem. The issue with Sam is that what's going to happen when he takes a hit? What's going to happen when two guys close in on his shoulder? What's going to happen when somebody wraps him up and as they're bringing him to the ground, they throw him down on his shoulder like when he was originally hurt? What's going to happen then? When he was kind of shot up a little bit before, you know, you can kind of play through all that stuff because you don't feel it. But when you don't feel it, then you run the risk of maybe the injury getting worse and you don't realize it's getting worse. So he's going to go out there and play Sunday totally Sam Darnold. Like there's going to be nothing in his body that's going to help him at all. It's just going to be Sam. So the big thing right now is that how is he going to handle that first hit? How is he going to handle the initial contact? And unfortunately for the Jets, there's no way to know until it happens, because you're not going to hit him in practice. You're not going to have Dal take tackling dummies and slam Sam on the shoulder to see how he feels. Like you're not going to put unwarranted hitting on him in practice. Like it's just not going to happen. So They're going to go through today like they did. They're going to have Sam go home, have Sam go to sleep, have him wake up. If he wakes up and feels fine, or after like a little bit of movement and stretching, then his shoulder feels fine and he's good to go, they're going to progress him and have him go on Thursday. And then if he's able to practice tomorrow on Thursday on a limited basis and he's not a DNP, he'll be good to go and he's going to start on Sunday. And then once Sunday comes, it's going to be a big – when Sunday comes, it's just going to be a big waiting game, because you're going to have to kind of be – almost on pins and needles waiting for him to take his first hit. You're just going to wait for him to take his first hit, and after he takes his first hit, is he going to get up? You know what I mean? When Wilkins comes, like when he gets rocked, is he picking himself up off the field? When he lands on that shoulder, is he picking himself up off the field, or is he going to stay down, come in, and then it's Joe Flacco time? And unfortunately, you just don't know until he takes one of those hits.
And then the other question, I guess, is why, right? And that's the other point, is what's the point of playing him? Six games left, and we're going to get to see, hopefully, Sam Darnold with the receivers that we were supposed to see him with all season long. Is that the main thing? That's what Adam Gase said. I know that was his first point, was I want to see him with the starting receivers. But you could also make the argument why. So I guess there's a few things here. Like, if you win a couple games and you miss out on Trevor Lawrence – you could blame that on Sam Darnold if he plays well, but then you want to see if he can play in case that happens. There's all sorts of weird moving dynamics here. And then, of course, you'd like him to play well so that his trade value goes up, right? So there's all these different things, but at the end of the day, I mean, they won't say it, but the Jets don't really want to win games.
No, and like Mark Sanchez was the one who came out with the most egregious quote I've heard. It was like, why would Sam Darnold want to play? Like, oh, why would he want to go out there and play? Yeah. That was just like, I heard it, and I did a hit on WFAN, and somebody brought up that because it was the first time I'd heard those quotes.
That's a quote you hear from someone who never played sports. I don't understand how that comes from.
He freaking started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's what I said. When they told it to me, it's exactly what I said. I was like, I would expect to hear that from somebody who's never played. Anyone who has played professional sports, you want to be out there, period. Like, you don't think about your health. You don't think about the future. You think about your teammates. You think about going to battle with your teammates, and you think about trying to win a game. Doesn't matter if you're 0-10, 0-12, 0-14, 0-15. You step foot on that field because you love this game. You want to play this game, and you want to win, and you want to be on the field with your teammates. He's a captain. Sam's a captain for a reason. To hear like, oh, he doesn't want to play is just egregious. Now, I can tell you, like, the decision to have Sam play, this is a multifaceted decision. This isn't just like Adam Gase wants Sam Darnold to play, Sam Darnold wants Sam Darnold to play, so Sam Darnold's going to play. That's not what this is. This is the Jets medical team. This is Joe Douglas. This is Sam Darnold. This is Adam Gase. This is Jimmy Sexton, his agent. This is everyone, and multiple other doctors with second and third opinions. This is everyone looking at this saying, can Sam play? And everyone has to sign off on it in order for Sam to get out there. Now, like you said, if you're Sam, you don't want to be traded. Like, Sam doesn't want to be traded to the Colts. He doesn't want to, well, maybe he wants to be traded to the Steelers. That'd be a pretty sick home. But, like, you know, like, he doesn't want to leave the Jets, honestly. Like, he doesn't want to leave. He wants to be the beneficiary, and I've said it before, of Joe Douglas's roster rebuild. You know, he wants that top five pick that's coming the Jets' way to be used on another offensive lineman or Jamar Chase. You know, he wants that other Seattle first-round pick to be used on a cornerback. You know, he wants that $90 million in salary cap space the Jets are going to have after they let go of Greg Van Roten and Henry Anderson to be used to build a roster that is going to benefit him, and that he's going to be the recipient of this offseason continued rebuild. He wants to be here for that. He doesn't want to go through this shitstorm that is the 2020 season to then have all of this that's coming the Jets' way be tossed into to Trevor Lawrence's lap and say, here you go, bud, and slap him on the butt. Like, that's not what he wants. So from Sam's point of view, he wants to get on this field. He wants to play well. He wants to steal two or three games in these final six so that the Jets are not in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're not in a position to draft Justin Fields. And then they're left with Sam Darnold as this team's quarterback in 2021. That's what Sam Darnold wants. That's why you're going to see an inspired Sam Darnold. I think the Jets, in their mind, kind of want that too. Like, in the Jets' perfect world, Sam Darnold is a franchise quarterback. And the Jets' perfect world is not Trevor Lawrence. That's not the Jets' perfect world. Their perfect world is that they already have their franchise quarterback, and now they can use all of these picks that they have and all of this money that they're going to have to round out the roster around the franchise quarterback they have. But if they're picking number one and they're picking number two, they cannot pass up on Trevor Lawrence 1 or Justin Fields 2. They just can't do that. So these final six games, it's kind of that test of the Jets want to get Sam Darnold out there if he's healthy to see what he can do behind an offensive line that's getting better with all three receivers out there. They want to see if he is that franchise quarterback. They want to finalize their evaluation of him so that when they come, when it comes time for the NFL draft, when they're picking number one or number two, they can say, okay, we've seen what Sam did without the weapons. We saw what Sam did with the weapons. We've got two other years of film on Sam. We're going with Trevor Lawrence. They don't want to have any questions, comments, concerns. And I think, like I said, best case scenario, Sam shows he's the franchise quarterback. They roll with Sam next year. Worst case scenario, Sam doesn't look good. They still manage to win a game or two, and they're taking, you know, they're picking number three. Like, that's worst case scenario. But I think this one is, looking at the roster, how bad they are, looking at the schedule they play, I just find, I find it hard to see the Jets with Sam or without Sam under center winning more than one game the rest of the way. And at 1-15, they're going to be picking number two. They could be picking number one. So it's just a matter of Sam elevating his trade stock, trade value. Even if the Jets don't want to say that and Sam doesn't want to say that and they don't want to think about it, that's really what this is, the final six.
Yeah, because the fact is, the no matter how well he plays, five of these six games are against potential playoff teams. And the Jets are, even around, even Sam Darnold at his best, the Jets are a bad football team and the chances of them winning those games. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, so we want to get to some questions, but there are a few other injuries.
There was no Nickelback conversion from you? I was trying to put it. I was like, let's really test Tim.
From Nickelbacks to the cornerbacks. Do we have any cornerbacks to talk about?
I haven't looked at the questions yet. See?
There we go.
There it is.
There we go. Marissa doesn't do that two months ago.
I don't think there's a question about the cornerbacks.
See, the problem is I was going to go injuries first, and that's where it threw me off. That's a fail by the host.
I'll send out a tweet asking for the question.
Couple of IRs. Ficken on the IR. Nobody's going to really lose too much sleep over that.
He's been like the Jets' best player. Ficken.
But he missed the extra point last week. And true. P. Ryan on the injured reserve, which is a bummer because you'd like to see more and more of him down the stretch. And now it's going to be at least three more games without the young running back. Okay, on to the questions, Marissa. Get us started.
Okay. Well, Connor's going to get some more. But this first one, Tim and I were actually talking about this like this afternoon. We think this is a pretty good question. From Nolan Rich. Looking back at the draft, is there one pick that you think Joe Douglas would like a mulligan on?
Mulligan. I'm familiar with those. Since we're a big golf podcast.
Also known as breakfast balls or, you know, plenty of
lunch balls. There's lunch balls. Yeah. Then you can take the breakfast ball on a second hole if you hit a good drive on the first hole. Yep. And it's like, it's my carryover. Yeah. I've mastered the way of giving myself strokes. Trust me. I think there's the one that he would want to have back. And I know a lot of people are going to say Ashton. That's actually a good question. I like this question. So I think a lot of people are going to say Ashton Davis and say, like, you took a safety and you could have signed somebody. You ended up getting Bradley McDougal and he started for a bit. I mean, you could have added someone in free. You could have gone out and gotten Logan Ryan and used that pick on like a receiver, yada, yada. I don't think Ashton Davis is that player. And I think that next year, and the year after that, when Davis is a starter and you're really starting to see him come into his own, and it's not just his athleticism shining, but his football acumen catches up, because he's an incredibly intelligent player. He's learning every day. He's just got to learn to play football. And I just a quick side, like Jamal Adams gave that interview where he trashed the Jets and eviscerated the Jets on that random podcast that Patrick Peterson does. But he made a comment about, like, when you're a rookie as a safety coming to the NFL, your eyes are all wrong. It's your eyes. That you can run around the field, your athleticism can show, you can luck yourself into plays, but your eyes are wrong. And it takes time to get your eyes right. And he said, I got my eyes right in year two, and it's kind of helped me make plays from then on out. Ashton has to get his eyes right. And that was never going to happen his rookie year, which is why the Jets were hoping he would play behind Jamal Adams and Marcus May. He would learn, and then he could take over as a starter in year two. I think you'll see Ashton Davis really come into his own, and him and Marcus May, or if the Jets let May walk and they sign a veteran to pair with Davis, you'll see that twosome really do some good things for this Jets defense moving forward. I think the mulligan that he would want back is the quarterback mm-hmm. pick. Because yep. I don't hate the selection in terms of fourth round, you take James Morgan, you develop him. He's Sam Darnold's backup for 4 years. He plays really good in the preseason, his second and third year. You then flip him for a third round pick. Or Sam goes down and misses two games. He comes in and plays well. You flip him for a second round pick or a fourth round pick. Like, I don't hate that idea of drafting a quarterback in the middle rounds, developing him, and flipping him for a selection higher than what you did. It's basically stocks. It's an investment. I don't hate that idea. But you start doing those things when your roster is filled out. You know, when you are a playoff team, when you are a team that has a good offense, they have a good defense, and you're just picking little things that you need to improve on to continue your quest for a championship or continue to round out your roster, that's when you can go and draft the quarterback. That's when you can grab the player there that you develop and eventually fit, you know, the long-term pick. That's what you can do there. With the Jets, when they needed at that time additional help on the offensive line, another receiver, help in the secondary at corner, an outside pass rusher, an inside line. When you need all of these things, you don't take the quarterback in the fourth round. So the one do-over I think that Douglas could want, or that Douglas would want, is that instead of taking James Morgan, he grabs another receiver. Instead of James Morgan, he grabs another corner. Instead of James Morgan, he gets an inside linebacker to develop and eventually either replace C.J. Mosley or start next to C.J. Mosley. Or he grabs a pass rusher, because he didn't really get that in the draft, right? I mean, they signed Bryce Huff and they drafted Jabari Zuniga, but Zuniga's kind of that Justin Tuck, Brandon Graham, pseudo defensive tackle, defensive end. He's not an outside pass rusher. So maybe you grab a pass rusher there that has some skill sets that you can develop. I just don't think that James Morgan was the right pick for the Jets last year. I don't hate the decision. I see what Douglas wanted to do. I understand the pick. It just wasn't the right pick for the Jets this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's who I would have said too, was the quarterback, just because you're trying to build the team. You're not trying to add that depth to the quarterback position, and especially in the fourth round. All right, from Robbie Mitchell, he says, I think Darnold has been making a mistake by not forcing his way onto the field these past few weeks. He's auditioning for a job. I guess the question, though, that's not a question. The question would be, Connor, is that at all a fair assessment, or is there, no matter how hard he pushed, was the team not going to allow him out there until a certain point?
No, when Sam got re-injured, it was a wake-up call. It was because they, I mean, look, if it was up to Adam Gase, if it was up to Sam Darnold, he would have been on the field from the beginning. That's why this is a multifaceted decision. That's why it's not just two people making it. It's the trainers. It's the second opinion from doctors. It is the general manager, it is Christopher Johnson, it is Sam's agency, it's everyone doing what's best for Sam, including Sam. So Sam's not the only voice, because if you're a player, you're going to go on the field. I mean, the Plaxico Burress actually just gave an interview I watched with Bleacher Report, which is fascinating, listening to him talk about that year the Giants won the Super Bowl and how he was basically playing on torn ligaments in his ankle and a hurt knee. Like, it was injuries that should have required surgery, and he's out the entire year, and he's playing on it every Sunday by not practicing. I mean, that's Plaxico knowing, okay, I can play if I just don't practice, like doing everything he can to get on the field. That's how players think. They don't think about long-term. They don't think about 2021. They don't think about their contract after the year. They think about, there is a game on Sunday. I want to play on Sunday, period. Do whatever you can do to get me on there. Unless he is literally incapable of raising his arm, Sam was going to go out there and play. And I think that he took some time off after originally injuring it against the Broncos. Then he came back in, got through, what was it, a game and a half before he got sandwiched and hurt. And Sam said, like, it was my mistake. I should have slid. And if he slides, maybe he doesn't take that hit and he's still playing. It's no big deal. But I think that there was, or there is, like I said, a wake-up call from that hit of we need to protect Sam. Because the last thing you want to do is have him take another hit, have this become a full tear, have this now become not time heals it, but you need surgery. And suddenly he's going into a year where the Jets are looking to move him. Sam wants to start for a team in 2021, and he's having off-season shoulder surgery as a quarterback. And we've seen firsthand with the Jets, Chad Pennington, a guy who had arm surgery and was never the same. Like, he didn't have a strong arm to begin with. Sam always had a stronger arm than Chad Pennington. But after he had that shoulder issue, he could play. He started. He won some games. He had a couple really good seasons with the Jets. But he didn't have the arm strength that he had pre-surgery, which was limited to begin with. So you don't want to have the player hurt himself more. So it's not that Sam's not pushing. It's not that the Jets don't want him out there, because they do. They want him on the field playing because it's just going to benefit them no matter what. It's a matter of, like, you need to protect the kid from himself. And you need to make sure that this doesn't make a bad situation worse, and you can't have that happen. So it's not Sam's pushing as much as he can to get on the field. The Jets are pushing as much as they can to get him on the field. They're just trying to do what's right for Sam, which is why also, like I said, this week they're not going to be shooting up with pain medication. He's not going to be popping pills. It's going to be Sam Darnold on the field on Sunday, and he's going to feel everything.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This one's from Steven on Twitter. Will we ever see CJ Mosley play, or has he lost the desire after 2 years?
I don't think he's lost the desire. I mean, he'll be back with the Jets next year, Scott.
Well, will he be back exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no. Like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, he's my concern with CJ Mosley is, what player is he going to be? Right. And is he going to resemble any type of the player that he was in Baltimore and for three quarters with the Jets against the Bills in the opener? What kind of player he's going to be? Because this is a guy now that has missed two full seasons of football, and he had no training. And I know, like, he saw him, like, people found him, like, video of him at a bar in Alabama, which I was like, man, like, you took off because you're worried about COVID with your family, and now you're in a bar in Alabama. It seemed like he just wanted a $10 million vacation, that he got his player bonus and was like, all right, I'm going to take this year off. Like, I realize we're not making a Super Bowl. I'm going to take the year off. It's like, I don't know. Like, I would be less worried about CJ if he had played 2019, then took 2020 off because of COVID, and now he's back for 2021. But, I mean, my concern is that he's going to be back. You hope that he's the player the Jets signed this, because he's a guy Adam Gase wanted. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, oh, Adam Gase didn't want CJ Mosley. But no, that was a guy Adam wanted because he viewed him as a culture changer in the locker room. So if you can get CJ back in there with the young guys that are going to be there, the mental ability to line up the defense, and he's even 80% or 75% of the player he was in Baltimore, you're still getting a Pro Bowl linebacker in the middle of your defense, which is going to make a big difference. My concern is that he's not going to be 75, 80, 90% of the CJ Mosley you saw in Baltimore, but he's going to be like 35, 40% of the CJ Mosley. And he's going to be a liability on the field. And that's an issue. That's a concern. He's still young, but, like, how long is it going to take him to get his sea legs back? I would have concerns about that. I would have reservations about that, but there's also nothing the Jets can do because they can't get out of that contract until after next year. So what I would consider if I was the Jets, if you can get Neville Hewitt back at, say, $5 million a year, either for a one-year deal or a three-year contract for, say, like $13, $14, $15 million, I would do that because CJ can provide insurance behind CJ Mosley, Neville Hewitt, I'm sorry, can provide insurance behind CJ Mosley to if Mosley isn't the same guy. And then what the Jets should do in free agency or the draft is try to find a perfect complement to CJ Mosley to start next to him if they're in a 34 defense, or if they convert to a 43 defense, then it's a moot point. But they do need a cover guy, I think, to pair next to CJ, because that's like kind of what he isn't that great at. I think Blake Cashman is the ideal player to start next to Mosley. The issue is that Blake Cashman can't stay healthy. He obviously dealt with shoulder injuries, which landed him on the injured reserve last year. Now he's dealing with a hamstring injury. And when he's on the field, Cashman's an impactful player. He's the most athletic linebacker the Jets have. He can cover tight ends, running backs, even slot receivers. He's that athletic. The issue is that he's just never on the field. And I think Cashman has 6 games, 5 games, depending on when he comes back from this hamstring injury, to show that he can be a starter next to CJ Mosley. But I think the Jets might want to consider, if they can get him for the right price, bringing Hewitt back so that Hewitt can at least start behind CJ Mosley as some kind of veteran insurance or something like that. Because, like I said, my concern isn't want for CJ Mosley to play. My concern is that CJ Mosley is just going to come back but not be the same player because he hasn't played in 2 years.
All right, before we get to one last question, I do want to throw in that, and Rich Cimini had this on Twitter today, Mekhi Becton leading the fan voting in the AFC for offensive tackles, and maybe crazier, Braden Mann leading the conference at his position as punter. So there's no regret in that draft pick, because Braden Mann has been everything they could have wanted and more.
You know what's
pretty cool to see those, actually, for a couple of rookies for the Jets.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and crunch the numbers to see, like, when was the last time a general manager drafted two players that both made the Pro Bowl in one draft? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure it's happened.
First rounder and seventh rounder too. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, like first time you've had two both your first pick and your last pick ended up being like Pro Bowl players. Like, I think that's pretty odd. But yeah, I mean that draft class for the Jets looks good. Becton's gonna be all world. Like, that guy, as long as he stays healthy and as long as the weight doesn't balloon out of control, that guy is going to be an all-pro, not Pro Bowler. All pros are in his future. Denzel Mims is going to be the perfect Eric Decker to someone's Demaryius Thomas, the perfect Robin to Batman. I mean, he's going to be a top-tier player. I like what the Jets have in Ashton Davis. I think Jabari Zuniga is going to be a really good player. Bryce Hall is somebody that the Jets believe has number two corner, starting corner potential. So, I mean, this first draft class for Douglas looks good, man. It really does. And the fact that you're getting the immediate gratification of a potential – and I know Pro Bowl is kind of like a loose award now, because everyone makes the Pro Bowl with how many alternates and how many guys choose not to play. But when you're a rookie and you're already getting that attention, and I'm really curious if it's going to change at all when player and coach votes come in, I'm intrigued to watch that happen. I mean, it just kind of tells you, like, the Douglas hit the ball out of the park with that first pick, man. He really did.
One more question, right, Marissa?
Yes. So this is from loyal listener Brian Blake, who always gets our attention with Marissa, Tim, Connor, exclamation point. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, what are you guys most thankful for in regards to the Jets? I think Connor should have to go first on this one. For those that are listening on audio, Connor just had a great eye roll. Yeah,
Connor does have a job because of the Jets.
I do. I will say that there's several more things that I'm thankful for today that I was not thankful for before today. I'll throw that out there.
That's as far as we're going, everyone. That's as far as we're going.
That's as far as I'm going to that line. But wink, wink, nod, nod. Man, what am I thankful for? I'm gonna go a little sentimental here. I don't give a crap about the roster. I don't give a really about like the coaching staff and stuff like that. I mean, like I like Adam. I think he's a good guy. I do. Like, people can rip him as a coach, but I think he is a good guy. He's been great with the media. He's been informed with the media. He's been good. Christopher Johnson's the same thing. Like, I've stressed that before. Like, those two guys have been tremendous to the media. They've been informative. They've been upfront with us. They've been honest with us, which is great. Joe Douglas, obviously, I haven't gotten a chance to know as well as I've gotten a chance to know Adam, and I've gotten Christopher just because Joe got hired and then COVID hit, and it's like you haven't had a chance to get that one-on-one relationship. But for like an emotional, like heartfelt answer, I'm honestly gonna say the fans. Like, I'm gonna give like Jet fans a shout out, because this season has been absolutely miserable for them. Like, it really has. You're following a team that you love, and that team is probably gonna go winless. But despite that, the vast majority, not all of them, but the vast majority of Jet fans have continued reading everything that we've written. You know, they've been involved. They've subscribed to The Athletic. They've read every story that we've been there. They've interacted during this road of uneven pavement and like bad. And then you look at even the podcast. I mean, the one guy who called us said, you don't have thousands of listeners yet. Yeah. Yeah, actually we do. And the fact that we have that loyal of a thousands of listeners tuning in either live or after the show is already run and listening to the podcast for a team that has not won. Like, that's the crazy thing I always come back to is that this, like, anyone who questions this team's fan base, anyone who questions what it would be like to play for the Jets, this, I see the numbers of the people that are reading the stories that I write. I see the number of listeners that tune in twice a week to listen to the podcast that the three of us have. All of these people are tuning in, numbers that are higher than a lot of other, than some of what, you know, all these other sites that are on The Athletic of teams that are winning. And the Jets have not won a game. So this fan base is tuning in to read and listen and follow this team, despite the fact the team literally has not won. They have a lame duck coach. They have a lame duck quarterback, and they're still tuning in. So that's honestly what I'm thankful for with this team, is that I'm covering a team that is not very good. I'm covering a team that literally has not won a game. I'm covering a team that probably is going to finish this season without winning a game. But I'm covering a team for a fan base that still cares about what we're writing about, what we're talking about, what we're saying. I think that's pretty cool. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Marissa, I think we should have had Connor go last. I don't know how to follow that.
Yeah, that was really good.
It took me a bit to come up with.
Okay, so behind the scenes.
Marissa's thankful for like
all these questions we throw in the rundown that Connor has no idea where it is. Just basically Tim and I look at it. And Tim wrote, only 6 games left under
that. Yeah, no, and now I'm going to pull that back.
Wow, that's
because
a pivot.
Oh. So then Connor that's gives this like heartfelt, sentimental answer. And we're both like, oh, crap, so we got to find something.
To the Jet fans.
So, no, I was going
to
say,
have it blocked.
My more serious answer besides only 6 games left, which is not as heartfelt as Connor's, is just that this team is as bad as it is, but they're so interesting anyway. And I am thankful for that. That there's, I mean, there's always so much to talk about with the New York Jets, no matter how bad they are. I mean, you got to give credit to a franchise that's this interesting while being this bad. So I'll say that. We got to do picks quick. Marissa, what are you thankful for? Yeah. We're not letting you off the hook.
Yeah, well, you guys said all the good, like, heartfelt answers. No, I'm obviously thankful for this podcast, and as much as, like, we, you know, make fun of you and, you know, try and like pick on you at times, Connor, like, you do make this very engaging. And Tim, literally, I would not survive on a daily basis without Tim, like, no joke, with all of my shows and my 8,000 questions I ask him at all hours of the day. So
that's awesome. I got to negotiate that into my contract too, is alleviate a workload for Marissa. Like, Marissa's gonna be only our
no
producer
more,
now.
No,
that's
more,
the other thing. If I'm coming back,
no more Eagles podcast on Marissa. Hey,
you want me until 2000? You got me through 2022. You want me through 2023? Marissa's solely our podcast producer now. Everything else, wipe her plate.
I don't think
wipe
I can deal
clean.
With Connor demands 24/7. It's basically ready. Like,
oh, I'm not that bad. I'm pretty easy to deal with.
You are easy, and you are very helpful. I will give you that. You're very helpful, true. And you're very creative, and you want the podcast to do well. So, and the loyal listeners,
selfishly,
yes, the loyal listeners and this chat, like, they are just.
Oh, who should we shout out? We should shout out.
Obviously, Michael Dunn said he's thankful for the Michael Dunns. So, yes, this podcast is very grateful for the Michael Dunns.
Wes Masterson in here. He's been a loyal listener lately. Yeah, Wes is in there. Wes Masterson, we got him.
Ryan Blake.
I'm trying to look through these names.
The Big Ryan Blue Blake. Knight said, love you all, and gave us all hearts.
All love. Yeah, we got some Jamal all loves. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I actually did go through this chat, and I know, Marissa, you got another podcast, so we got to wrap this up soon. But I know we went through the the chat. Like, I watched the last episode back, and I was scrolling through. It is kind of cool to, like, because I remember when we were live streaming this before, when we first started, we would get, like, 300 views on these podcasts. Like, that's it. Like, it would be 300 views on the YouTube broadcast, and we'd pick up, like, whatever we picked up on the downloads. Now to be sitting here and see, like, everyone's over like, 1.5 to 3,000 views on the YouTubes, and, like, going through the live chat and seeing names that I never recognized before. Like, I'm like, I don't. Some of them you see, like, the Michael Dunns. Like, you obviously remember them from day one. But then you scroll through, and I'm like, oh, I never saw that name before. That's a new guy. That's a new one. And then, like, it's kind of cool. Like, it is cool to see it growing. And obviously, like I said, we're here now through 2022. So who knows what we're going to do moving forward. It's going to be fun. Many more Thanksgivings.
All right.
Maybe we'll do a live broadcast from Thanksgiving.
Not from Thanksgiving. But
yeah, no.
We'll see.
I'm keeping my computer closed tomorrow.
That was shut down quick.
Seriously,
oh,
though.
Bingo. We have to do bingo, too. Oh, I forgot bingo.
I think we're going to have to save that for another episode.
We'll save bingo. Yeah, bingo board is complete, though. So there is that. Picks real quick, though. You got 60 seconds, Connor. 3 games.
How about 30 seconds?
All right,
go.
Yeah, I got to pick. All right, I'm picking these live because I have not bet.
You want to go last?
So, No, I'll do them live like this. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys -3 at home against the Washington football team. I like that line. Ooh, Cardinals -2.5 on the road against the Patriots. Give me that one all day. I like that one a lot, too. So Arizona -2.5. I do kind of... You know, I'll give me the Steelers -4 at home against the Ravens, because I think the Ravens are really coming back down to earth. So I like that line. Give me that one. Wow.
Played.
No, change that one. I'm actually going to take the Chiefs -3.5 on the road or on the road
against
the Bucks.
That's what I took.
How the hell are they only... That's a weird line. I might stay... That's scaring me a little bit, actually.
I don't know.
Yeah, I stayed away from that one because it was confusing to me. When I get confused by the lines, I just avoid it completely. I am agreeing with you on Dallas. I think -3, Thanksgiving, everything that goes with that. They're always a little better on that day in Washington. The last place they want to be is in an empty stadium in Dallas on Thanksgiving. I'm going to keep – somebody has to pick the Seahawks every week, so I'll stick with them. At Philadelphia, -5. And then I'm going with the Giants -6 because I just think with Burrow out after that injury last week, and who's playing? Finley for
the Bengals? No,
he's not. No, it's not. It's that random dude.
No,
who's
it's
like Allen. Is it Allen?
Yeah, Brandon Allen.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. Either way, it's the Bengals are going to roll over here the rest of the way, I think, without Burrow. So I'll take Giants -6. Go, Marissa.
I'm going Titans +3 versus the Colts. I agree with you. Seahawks -5 versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And like Connor said, Chiefs -3.5 versus the Bucks. I don't like picking similar picks to you guys because I have some room to catch up with, but whatever. Go for it.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Great deal. You may have heard it at the beginning, but starting on Friday, go to theathletic.com/thecantwaitpodcast. You can sign up for The Athletic for a year for just $1 per month. So that's 12 months, just $12 total. It's the best deal we ever offer over the course of the year is the Black Friday deal. So that's coming up starting on Friday. So get on theathletic.com/thecantwaitpodcast. And that's going to do it for us. Thanks to everybody for listening. We are so thankful for you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.